Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. We're going to be preaching out of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. The name Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. Hallelujah. Today is September the 11th. And I believe it was 15 years ago. Today marks 15 years ago when the Twin Towers was hit by terrorists. And that was, I remember what I was doing that day. I'm sure you do also. And let's just take a moment of silence and honor the families, the victims and the families there on that day. Father, we pray for this nation. Lord, we're still believing for the revival, God, that's happening right now as we speak all over this country. Lord, help us, Lord, not to listen to the media, but listen to you more. Because all they feed us is junk. But Father, we need your bread. We need your life. Father, I pray for this nation. I pray for this world. Lord, your plans will succeed. Your purpose will succeed. And your word will, it will accomplish what you sent it to do. And just as John the Revelator said in the book of Revelation, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 2, I don't know if you're there yet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you better have your house in order. You better have your house in order. Praise the Lord. Let's start at verse, Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 through verse 23. Praise the Lord. And I'll stop walking around real fast so that way you won't go. I'll just stand right here so that way I won't make you dizzy. Hallelujah. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes presidents and raises up presidents, kings, leaders, prime ministers. Y'all catch that? He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light, knowledge, wisdom dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel is thanking the Lord right now, and he's recognizing God for who he is, what he's doing. King Nebuchadnezzar was in control at this time during the Babylonian Empire. And he had a dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. Nobody except for one man. Y'all want to guess who it is? Daniel. Daniel was the only one that could interpret the dream. And I believe that God was working behind the scenes. God is the one who actually gave the king the dream. And he was working out all this in order to get Daniel to interpret this dream. And part of this dream is that he's seen a human metallic image. And I don't know if you have that picture or not, Dennis. It may take him a little. Can y'all see that? It's a figure of a man. And this is, and it, and it's talked about in Daniel chapter 2. The head of gold is the kingdom of Babylon. The chest and arms of silver is the king of the Medes, is the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. The belly and the thighs of bronze is the kingdom of ancient Greece. The legs of iron is Rome. And the feet of iron and clay is the kingdom of restored Rome. And then there's the crushing rock, which represents the kingdom of God. Daniel saw this human image of these empires. And he's seen this human image, and he sees God just gives him the future right here. Because all throughout history, we see these empires, they come to power, and Daniel sees the future right here. What is this telling us? What is this telling us this morning? It's telling us that God is in, y'all want to finish that? He's in charge. He's in control. And you go down to the 10 toes, 5 on each foot, right? Represents the 10 kingdoms, the 10 kingdoms, 10 kings. And there will be a coalition in the last days of 10 nations that will come together under the rule of the Antichrist. And under that, they will try to take over, right? And they'll probably take over, y'all bear with me this morning, and they'll probably take over through discontent. Y'all catch that? Everybody's not happy. We need somebody different. We need a different leader. Y'all with me? Does that sound familiar? We need somebody different. We need somebody who has views that's popular with the world. This is the person that's going to fix everything. What do we hear now today in media? We hear the same exact thing. This person's going to fix it. This man is going to fix it. He's going to fix it. And what will happen, this man will be the greatest person everybody's ever ran into. This is it. This guy's got the answer. This guy's got the solution. This guy. And I can see, and can't you see it, the world falling into that trap right now. We've got to have somebody in office. We've got to have somebody in leadership that knows what they're doing. Listen, the only thing that will fix things and the only thing that will bring a solution is God. Amen. The only one. And the Bible says, and when Daniel seen his vision, he said he seen a stone, a rock, cut out without human hands. Without human hands. Meaning that God is going to set up his kingdom. Hallelujah. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, will you turn there for me, Dennis? In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, he says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never," everybody say never,
never,
"which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." All right, I've got something to tell you this morning. Why are we so focused with things? Why are we so focused with stuff? Why are we so focused with earthly riches more than we are heavenly riches? Why are we so focused on materialistic things than we are spiritual things? Why is it that we can carry on a 2-hour conversation about a movie, but we can't carry a 2-hour conversation about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why is it that we are so concerned with what's going on in somebody else's life, in a celebrity's life? We are so infatuated with the world that we want to see how close we can live to the world and still be right and still be saved. But the closer you get to God, the more of this you want.
Amen.
The more of this you want. Why are we building our own kingdom? If this verse is saying, God's kingdom shall break in pieces and consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, futuristic, in the future. And the Bible says that there is a kingdom that God will build on earth. And John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." New heaven and new earth. Now, God has given us a taste of his kingdom now. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, according to Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is among you." So what is it? Is it future or is it now? If the kingdom of heaven is in me, and he's saying this is in the future, I'm confused. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to give you a taste of the kingdom right now.
Hallelujah.
Now, what does it mean to preach the kingdom of God? What does it mean? Well, Jesus said this. And as you go, everybody say, go.
Go.
Does it say as you stop? Does it say as you stop and think about whether or not you should obey the Lord? Whether or not you should go to church? No brainer. Whether or not you should pray. Whether or not you should, you shouldn't have to think about these things. Should I think about reading the Bible today? There's nothing to think about here, guys. Right? He said that as you go, preach the kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you turn there, Dennis? Matthew chapter 10. And as you go, preach the kingdom of God. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. You say, well, he's bringing, the kingdom of God is coming. Yeah, and the kingdom of God is planted in you.
Amen.
And you are a representation of the king. Next verse. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Some of you, there's probably demons in your house you need to cast out.
Amen.
Right? Some of those things you wonder why you ain't got no peace in your house, ain't got no peace in your house. Why don't you go in there and just rebuke the devil, plead the blood of Jesus over your house and say, there's peace in this house today. There's peace in this house. See, Adam lost authority when he sinned, but Jesus came to give us back that authority. Adam had dominion, lost the dominion, but when Jesus died for us, he restored dominion back to man. But we live as though we don't have authority and we don't have dominion. Well, I can't help it because the enemy's doing it. I can't help it. Listen, if you'll keep on pressing on and open your mouth and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to read the Bible. As for me and my house, we will pray. As for me and my house, we will go to church on Sunday morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord every day of the week. As for me and my house, listen, there ain't going to be no sinning going on under my roof.
Amen.
It belongs to the Lord. Amen, church.
Amen.
And they say, calm down, Pastor. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Calm down. Listen, truth offends, doesn't it?
Amen.
Does it not offend? Right? Somebody say, preach the truth, preacher.
Preach the truth, preacher.
If God's seen all these kingdoms that were going to be planted, well, what do you think? God's in control right now.
Amen.
But you know what we do? We think, oh, man, all that, we're in trouble. We're in despair. We're living in defeat. Listen, God's seen the kingdoms. He's got all this planned out. He knows what's going to, he knows what empire's going to be brought up. Listen, we get so worried and so caught up in the cares of this life. But if we'll focus on Jesus, you know, it was a mistake when we took God out of the schools, wasn't it?
Amen.
Anytime you exclude God, there's going to be, the foundation is going to crumble, isn't it? The foundation will crumble. Everything will fall apart. Right? 1974, abortion was legalized, Roe versus Wade. Over 50 million babies have been killed. Legalizing homosexuality. Calm down, Pastor. You're going to hurt. You're going to offend people. Listen, it's not my desire to offend. But I stand here before you today, and I have to tell you this. Guys, it's wrong. It's wrong. Pastor, you don't understand where I came from. You don't understand. Listen, I'll help you any way I can. I'll help you any way I can, but I can't condone that behavior.
Amen.
You with me?
Amen.
I'll love you. I'll love you. I'll love you. But I'll never tell you it's okay.
Amen,
amen, church.
Amen.
It's not okay. And so we wonder, what's going on with this country? What's going on? When 9/11 happened, everybody got patriotic, but they didn't repent. They got patriot, but they didn't repent. Church is filled up because trouble came knocking on the door. A couple of years later, church attendance went down. Everybody got relaxed again. They're at ease in Zion, as the Bible says. Well, there ain't nothing going on now. There ain't no trouble going on now. We don't have to focus on the Lord as much now. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. You're supposed to serve the Lord when everything's good and when everything's bad. Amen. Right? And we have some people in the church today, it's like there's a teaching out there today that says, well, I can do whatever I want to do. I can live wherever I want to do because, you know, I sinned a lot this past Saturday night, but, you know, God's going to forgive me. God will forgive me. Every week, you deliberately do it. You keep doing it. You say, well, I've got a grace card I just pull out every time, and I just use it when I need to. I just use it, and when I'm, you know, when I keep messing up and I don't listen to God, I just go and throw his grace card out because the Lord understands me and he knows. Are you with me, church?
Amen.
Right? See, we cheapen grace. We cheapen grace when we say, and see, I'm a grace man. You all know I preach grace like crazy. I am a grace man. But don't you dare cheapen grace saying that it's okay to sin, it's okay to do these things. And I'm still forgiven. Listen, when you're forgiven, God will change you. He will change you. You with me? Hallelujah. The Bible says, everybody say end time.
End time.
We're living in the end times. And right now, you think it's bad now? Turn to 2 Thessalonians, if you don't mind, Dennis. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. Everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the sound man.
For the sound.
The Bible verse man. All right, you think it's bad now? Let's read this. And now you know. Everybody say, you know. There's no guesswork about this. We know this. And now you know what is restraining that he, who's he? It's the Antichrist, causing the son of perdition. That the Antichrist may be revealed in his own time. Next verse. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Okay, we know this, don't we? You watch media, you see everybody. Man, it's just, morals is just thrown out the window, isn't it? There's no moral convictions. When you see things on the news today, it's just kind of, well, it happens every day. You with me? Moral conviction is just thrown out the window. It doesn't matter anymore. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Mystery of sin. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. All right. There is a restraining force right now that's keeping chaos from happening. You with me? And everybody think, well, this is the worst it's going to be. Actually, no. When that restraining, y'all need to listen to this. When that restraining voice, when that restraining force is taken out of the way, that's when the tribulation will happen, guys. Terrible things will take place. Terrible things. You say, Pastor, you're supposed to be telling us good things to tickle our ears and to make us feel good. No, I got to preach you the truth. This is the word. And there's a restraining force. The church is still here. The church is still here. But when the church is taken out of the way, get ready. And the Antichrist will bring a system. And under that system, you can read in Revelation chapter 13 that the number is 666. Y'all read that. You've heard about it before. And there'll be a system of buying and selling. And if you don't have that mark, if you do not have that mark, you won't be able to eat, you won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you won't be able to do these things. And it blows me away after we read these scriptures of what is to come. And we live our lives as relaxed. Everything's okay. Everything's fine. I can do whatever I want. I can live how I want to live. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to serve the Lord. Guys, wake up.
Amen.
Wake up, guys. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Jesus said, watch therefore. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour.
Hallelujah.
As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And he said they were marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking. They were doing, you know what they were doing? They were enjoying life, guys. They were just in, and the Bible says that they were lovers. In the last days, they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of themselves. That'll be the characteristics of the last days. And how many knows that there's a lot of people that would rather serve the God of pleasure more than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And that is the characteristics today that you see. Jesus said, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, dangerous times. And you say, oh, that's why you're so passionate. That's why you're so serious. Listen, this is not a game. This is not a joke. And sometimes we live as this is some kind of a joke, some kind of a game. This is life and death. This is the Word of God. This is the truth. And there's a restraining force right now. And when the church is taken out of the way, it's when the tribulation will happen. The Antichrist will be revealed. And you say, okay, what are you trying to tell us now? What are you trying to tell us? I'm telling you to get your house in order. Get serious about God. Well, I'll just wait until I'm ready. I'll just wait until God's ready. If you wait, listen, if you wait until you're ready, you'll probably die. You with me? You got to go to God now.
Amen.
Let God do the work. Let God do the work. You say, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. Well, today's the day of salvation.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm thinking about it. How long are you going to think about it?
Amen.
Why don't you pray about it? Right? How long are you going to think about it? How about we get serious about this thing? If you really believe this is the truth, and if you really believe this comes from God, then why don't we get serious about it?
Amen.
And say, you know what? Jesus could come at any time. Ask yourself this question. Am I really ready? That if God called the church out of here right now, tomorrow, would I be left behind with all this chaos going on? Preacher, you're trying to put fear in people. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not trying to put fear in you. Not trying to put guilt in you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be under a system of the 666 with buying and selling. I don't want to be here for that. I tell you what, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Daniel saw all these kingdoms. Guys, God's in control. When you see things that you don't agree with on media, when you see things that you don't agree with or whatever, it's okay to let it be known, but you got to. But here's the thing. You can't let it take your joy. You can't let it take your peace, because there is a person. You got to listen to this. Please listen to this. There is a person behind the scenes who's always working. Right? He prophesied that the 10 toes, the 10 nations that would join together under the Antichrist. It'll lead to the war of Armageddon. How many's ever heard of Armageddon? Right? A lot of us probably didn't hear it from the Bible. We probably heard it from a secular source and got a distorted meaning of what Armageddon means. Right? But Armageddon is going to happen in the Valley of Megiddo in Jerusalem. And the Bible talks about all this stuff that's going to happen. And then John in the last chapter sees a vision of heaven. He sees the river of life. And in Revelation 20, it says that he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign. They call it the millennial reign of Christ. And he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. And this is what the Bible says. So what do we need to do? Well, how does this relate to me? Okay, we know this is going to happen. How does this relate to me? It relates to you in that you need to quit sinning. You need to live for God. Pastor, we already know that. Well, you need to be reminded. Right, church? Getting serious. Have you ever been around somebody you couldn't be serious around? They was always joking. You say, I'm trying to be serious right now. That's the way the world is right now. It's a joke. Jesus is a joke, is what they say. Look at those country, uneducated people serving Jesus. They're not smart. And the Bible says that there'll be scoffers in the last days, and they will make fun of people who preach the coming of the Lord. They will make fun of them, and they think it's a joke. Guys, with everything that is within me, I'm preaching to you with all my heart this morning. Please, 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 on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, do not. It's never a joke on any day. Never, ever a joke. It's a serious thing. Your salvation is a... How long is eternity, guys? It's forever, isn't it? That's a long time to be wrong, isn't it? It's a long time to be wrong. I think I'd want to get it right. When I think of the consequence, I'm like, man, those are some pretty bad consequences. I think I want to get it right. I think I want to live for the Lord right now. Amen. You know what? I think I'll take advantage of the age of grace that I'm living in right now. I think I'm going to go ahead and live for the Lord, take in His grace, take in His mercy, so I don't have to suffer the consequence. But it's more than that. It's about loving God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. Amen. Guys, let's stand up. Let's stand for the truth. And for those of us that are saved, how long are you going to sit on your gifts? How long are you going to sit on your gifts? How long are you going to sit on your calling? How long are you going to sit on your purpose? Are you just going to live through this life and not exercise your gifts, not exercise the calling God's put on your life? How long? Now's the time to take the step of faith. Now's the time to step out into your calling. And you say, well, I don't think I have the chance. I don't think I have the chance to do it. Well, there's a street corner right down the road. Right? There's people, there's communities in this area where people need the gospel. You can exercise your gifts, what God has given you. There's a great place. If you want to help the poor people, you could go to the People Helping People down here in Benton, and they got a wonderful ministry. They feed people in Chattanooga, Bradley County here. Man, they got a great ministry. All you have to do is take the step of faith. But you're waiting on somebody to give you permission to do it. God already gave you permission to exercise your gifts and to fulfill your purpose and calling in life. What will the Lord say to you? What will the Lord say to you when you get to heaven? Will He say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will He say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you? That'd be the worst words a person will ever hear in their life. Depart from me. I never want the Lord to say that to me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Right? I want God to say, well done. Everybody say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Dennis, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. So what do we do? What do we do right now? Our nation's is in turmoil. Everything's going on. Things are bad right now. What do we do right now? What do we do? Keep our eyes on Jesus. We pray, right? For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What does that mean right there, baptized into Christ? It means identified. Everybody say identity. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, look here. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If the church could get that verse. Under the new covenant, look here. Jew nor Greek. That breaks down every racial barrier. Did you see that? Did you catch that? Every racial barrier. Look, there is neither slave nor every social status barrier. There is neither male nor female. Every gender barrier. People say women can't obey God. You know what? Women can't obey God. All right. I figured I'd throw that in there. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Look here. Under the new covenant. New Covenant, there's no such thing as a white church. There's no such thing as a black church. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Get mad at me if you want to, or shout with me if you want to. There is neither, look here, neither Jew nor Greek. Listen, God's not looking at the skin color. God's not looking at, God is looking for a church that will focus on Him. God is looking for a church that will focus on Him. God's in control. He prophesied everything that's going to happen in the future is found written in the Word of God. And we get caught up on these little things that causes division and causes us to get, oh man, lose our joy, lose our peace. Oh, if you would focus on the Lord, if you would focus on the Word of God, you'd have your peace, you'd have your joy. Nobody can take it away because you're obeying God. There's neither male nor female. Look at that. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So when God sees me, who's He see? Christ Jesus. Who am I in? Who am I in? Who am I in?
Jesus.
Yes. That's what the Bible says, guys. And we get caught up on these things. Listen, God does not want us to be divided. He wants me to worship God with the 85-year-old, the 90-year-old. He wants me to worship God with the 2-year-old. 2-year-olds can worship God? Yeah. Yeah, they can worship the Lord. Well, what are you trying to tell us, Pastor Sam? I'm telling you to get rid of spirit, quit being spiritually immature, grow up, start serving the Lord, and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I hear people say this all the time. They say, well, if you get easily offended, that means you're spiritually sensitive. No, it means you're spiritually immature. That's what it means. And I see a lot of spiritual immaturity where people get offended over everything. You can't say nothing. You got to walk on eggshells, guys. They get offended over everything. They carry a chip on their shoulder, don't they? How many seen that video on Facebook that I shared? Me Church. How many seen that? Me Church. And the whole purpose of Me Church was, is the chairs heated when it gets cold in the church, or do they have a, I really don't want to listen to a sermon over 30 minutes long. Well, we'll change it to 15 minutes. Oh, that's great. Well, if you can do 15 minutes, just change it to 10 minutes. That'll be even better. Right? Me Church, where it's all about me, my likes, my preferences. Why don't you die to yourself already?
Come on.
People get offended over everything. Listen, you won't get offended so much if you die to the cross, if you die to sin, carry that cross. All you'd be focused on is Jesus. And what people say wouldn't offend you that much if you'd focus on Him. But you're too focused on yourself. Me, my feelings. Listen, I understand we all got feelings. We got emotions because we're human beings. But if you get offended over every little thing that's being said, you need to grow up, be spiritually mature, and start focusing on the Lord and say, as for me and my house, we will. Y'all want to finish that for me? We will serve. Finish it. Say it again. We will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to be spiritually immature. What does an immature, right? Children, right? They cry over, I want my toy, right? Right? I want my toy. Well, we'll get it later on. Later today, we'll get it. No, I want it now. I want it now. Right? That's the way we do God, don't we? Immature. Right? We see another kid. We see another kid's got a toy. Give me that. It's mine. I see that in adults today. Get jealous. Right? Get on Facebook. Get jealous of other people. I can't believe they got that kind of stuff. Why don't I have that kind of stuff? Stuff won't save you. Hello? Stuff, listen. We're all so concerned about social status and whether or not we can keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses will never help you. They never saved you. They never did anything for you. And you're so worried about them. You're so worried about impressive people that they don't even like you. Are you with me? Quit trying to impress people. They don't care if you're trying to impress them or not. Get away from the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. Get your eyes off the world and get your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is coming soon. die to yourself already. Yes. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm a dead man walking. Yes. I'm hanging with Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ Jesus. Right? So church, let's do ourselves a favor. Our families a favor. Right? Don't get offended. Pray for them. And move on. Amen. And keep on serving the Lord. Amen. Because there's going to be many, many times. There'll be many opportunities for you this week to get offended. And if you're many opportunities. And if you let it, even from your family. Woo-hoo, right? From your friends. Even from. There'll be opportunities. But you got a choice. You can say, you know what? I'm not going to get offended. I'm not going to let it build bitterness in my heart. I'm just going to keep on serving the Lord. Because you know what will happen? If you let it go, this is good, this is good, this is good. If you let it go, a week later, everybody will forget about it. They won't even remember it happened. It's gone. It's done. It's over. It's over, guys. You're eating steak dinner together. Right? It's done. But we'll hold on to it. Do or die, we'll hold on to it. He hurt my feelings. And I'll never forget it. And 3 years later, they're still holding on to it. It's like, let go already. Let go of it. And I know we're laughing, but that's serious, guys. Because it will destroy your life if you hold on to things. Jesus said, I could come today. You know, we're over here holding on to bitterness, envy, jealous of other people, not even focused on God, focused on ourselves, can't even die to ourselves. We're still living in sin. And some of us know the scriptures, don't we? We know it. I know Jesus said, watch therefore. I know he did. Well, it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to do it. Watch therefore. Amen, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You receive this word this morning?
Amen.
Listen, the door was open on Noah's Ark, right? How long have I been preaching? Does it really matter?
It don't matter.
All right. Noah's door, the Ark, it was open, right? It was open for a long time. Gave people space to repent, opportunity to repent. But one day the door closed and nobody could get in. Now, I don't know. I don't know your life. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be a great predictor. I don't claim to be that at all. I don't know. All I do is I just give you the word, and I hope you respond to it by faith. I hope you respond. I don't know your heart, but man, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now about that ark closing before you get in, I would not leave this place today. I would not leave because you're taking a risk. You're taking a chance. You're taking a chance when you don't give your life to the Lord. If you're not even sure you're right with God, if you're not even sure you haven't been taking God seriously, oh my goodness, I would not leave. Would not. I'd be like, right here, Lord. Right here, Lord. I'm walking into the ark right now. Right now, I'm getting in. I'm getting in. I'm pretty sure when the flood came, and I see this a lot. People worry about other people, what they think about them. It's bad. It's bad. It happens to a lot of people. Worry about other people. I'm pretty sure the people that were drowning were not worrying about what people thought when they were trying to get into the ark. You hear me? When I have an altar call, don't you be worrying about other people. Because look, I see the rain clouds coming.
Amen.
Right? There's fixing to be a flood come. And if you're worried about what other people will think, and you're more worried about what they think over your life, over your salvation, whether you want to let go of the world, listen, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. Listen, guys, God is a God of grace, and God is a God of mercy. But there's judgment coming, guys. There's judgment coming. And if you don't start, and if you don't live for the Lord and get things right with God, I'm just going to tell you, through layman's language right here. Through Tennessee language. All right, you ready? If you don't get right with God, you're going to be lost forever.
Amen.
How do I know if I'm lost? You know your law. You know whether or not you're lost. You know it. You know whether or not you're right with God. I don't have to try to ask you all these questions, put you in a one-hour interview whether or not you're saved or not. You know whether or not you're saved. I'm giving you an altar call right now. The Holy Spirit is calling if you are not right with God. And you say, well, Pastor, you're going to make me feel bad and you're going to look down on me. Listen, Jesus never looked down on anybody. Jesus never looked down on anyone. Well, if you knew the things that I did, if you knew what I did, all the things that I did, you wouldn't look at me the same. Listen, when you're in Christ Jesus, that's all God sees. In Christ Jesus. Some of you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now in your heart. Some of you, you've got to have a change in your life. I'm telling you right now, you got to have a change. You've tried everything in the world. Self-help, psychology. Self-help. You've read self-help books. Trying to get advice, tips, all these things, and it still ain't working for you. It's because you haven't given your heart to the Lord. You say, well, if I run away from the Lord, I want to ignore God because I don't want to think about these things. I don't want to think about God. I don't want to think about it because then I'll have to change my life. Don't you want God to change your desires? Guys, it's time to get serious. Now, I'm not saying you're not serious. I believe most of you are serious here. I really believe that. But man, we got to get serious about this thing. We got to get serious about prayer. We got to get serious about God. There is a calling that the Lord has put on our lives. If you're not right with God, if you don't have a relationship with God, I plead with you this morning, please give your heart to Him. Because I don't want to see you drown. I don't want to see you get caught up in the floods of judgment. Because it's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. It's what the Bible says. So as I make this altar call, I'm going to make an altar call for those who want to make this statement before God by their step of faith. When you step up here, you're taking a step of faith. Y'all with me? You still with me? When you come up here, you're taking steps of faith. You're showing God, God, I really mean this. I really mean this. If you really mean this, and you're tired of living the same old life, same old depression, same old sin, same old lust, same old, if you're tired of that, you could take these steps of faith this morning and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even for those of you that are saved, I make a call. I ask you to respond to the call of God this morning and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and if He's asking you, and you say, Pastor, I never go up to the front. I never do it. I never do it. Well, I think the Lord might be calling you to do it today. The Lord may be calling you to do that today. You come up to the front. You don't come to me. I'm a pastor, but I ain't God. I'm not the one that can fix you. God is the only one that can do it. This altar is open for those of you that want to make a statement and say, I want to make some changes in my life. I'm tired of living this way. I don't have to live this way anymore. I'm tired of living in defeat. I'm tired of living under what God has for me. This morning, that can change. You could come up here. You come over here. You come right over here or over there, wherever you want to go. Hands raised, kneeling down, however you want to do it. As long as you're praying to God. And you can make this statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the call. For the saved and even for the lost. You want to make that statement? You want to declare that over your family? If you care about your family, the Holy Spirit's calling you right now. The Holy Spirit's calling you. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Father, we declare together that we are serving you with all of our heart. And Lord, we understand, God. We can discern the signs of the times. We can discern the times that we are living in, that the time is near, that you're coming back very soon. And Lord, we dare not scoff or mock the preaching of the coming of the Lord, because you're coming soon, as your word tells us, Father. Lord, we understand that you're in control. Lord, that you are working your purpose in world events, with world leaders in these prophetic times. Things are happening all over the world that's pointing toward your coming, toward your appearing. And we understand, God, that whoever's in office, that you are working your purpose and that you are working your plan. And Father, we thank you that you are in control and that all power belongs to you. And Father, we pray this as our response to the message this morning, that you're coming very soon, as our response to you. Father, we respond with this statement: as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord with no regard to circumstance, to what happens. We will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to declare that over your life right now, come. We're going to serve the Lord. You want to declare that over your life? If you're lost, saved, whoever you are, you want to come up to the front, say, I declare this over my family, over my life. We're coming into the ark of safety. We're coming into the ark of grace, into the ark of mercy. Come to the front. Let's worship the Lord. Let's make the statement and decree it and say, God, by your help we will go forward. By your help we will mature in the Spirit. By your help we will grow. Praise the Lord.